Thriving in Singleness, episode 83.
This is the Thriving in Singleness podcast, where it's not about surviving, but thriving in this chapter of your life. Here's your host, Tom DeLong.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Thriving in Singleness. I'm running solo as the host today, but I've managed to get Caleb Kaminsky here with us today, and we're going to have an awesome conversation. Really looking forward to it. I just had a fun time hanging out here prior to the episode. But Caleb, how you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Doing great. God is good.
He is so good. So tell me a little bit about yourself, what you're doing, where you are in life, and let's go. What you got?
Yeah, so currently I just been living in the love of Jesus and just waiting upon him, currently in the season that I'm into, like the Lord has just been showing me just to be patient, to wait on him. And I go live on like TikTok. I post a lot of videos on Instagram and YouTube, but most of all, I do it all for Jesus, you know, because there's that one point in my life to where I was like, Lord, you know, what do I do? You know, what do I do? And he showed me, you know, just stay focused on me. Just keep single-eyed on me and everything else will fall into place. And you'll automatically, you know, walk in the will and call that I have for your life, you know, so... Yeah. That's where I've been in right now, just waiting in him and knowing that I'm satisfied in him, that I lack no good thing, and that I'm complete in him, you know? So that's where I've been.
Yeah, man. And I just love seeing your reels, where your heart is for the Lord in that. It's so cool. And, we need missionaries in Africa. We need missionaries in Europe. We need missionaries in Kenya. But you know what? Hey, we need missionaries in TikTok and Instagram and YouTube as well. Like we got to flood that area with missionaries, right?
Yes, I agree. I agree.
I totally believe that. But if somebody says that they're going to be a missionary on TikTok, you're probably not going to catch me giving them money. Like they got to find their own way.
Hey, God will provide, you know, God will provide.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Absolutely, man. And then where do you live currently?
Right now, I live in Michigan.
Oh, gotcha. All right. So, yeah, I know Josh, he's over in Grand Rapids, so not terribly far away, but far enough. But, yeah, all right. The Motor City, that's pretty cool. Is it, like, run down where you're at? I've heard a lot of things about Detroit and what it looks like around.
Yeah. So, you know, it depends on where you're at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm at, it's decent. It's decent, you know. Good. Content.
Not
we're
to like
content.
Talk down on like where you're living. But... No, yeah, it sounds like you're coming out of a cardboard box to join us for the episode.
No, yeah, it can be crazy. You know, it can be crazy. Where it really does depend on where you are. So really does depend. Okay. So I'm not in a too bad of place, but it can get crazy sometimes. So
yeah.
So yeah, it's nice though. It's nice. We're content.
That's good. No, that's really good. But yeah, I think I need to make it up to Michigan to check out the Upper Peninsula. That's something that's kind of on my list. I've almost gone there once, but looks beautiful. I'd love to get out there and do some kayaking and just kind of see the pictured rocks and everything else up there.
Yeah, I actually what's it called? I forgot the place. It's a really nice place. You can't even drive there. You have to take a boat, and then all they have is like horses.
I'm gonna say Montauk,
something like that.
Is that it?
I don't.
I'm trying to think of the name. I was gonna say that was on the list of where I wanted to go, but I couldn't think of it, so I just skipped over it. But I'm glad you brought it up, so
you
bring that up. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, though. That'd be a really cool place to go and just experience and bike around and.
Yeah. That's a nice vacation spot for sure. Island. Yeah, Mackinac Island.
That's it.
Yeah, Mackinac Island.
Yeah, I'm going to say like a non-Michiganer, Mackinac. So, that's on my list. That'd be cool to check out.
Yeah.
But so you're 22, you're single, and you're doing life, just crushing it, man. What has God been laying on your heart lately that we can kind of talk about today and encourage the listeners with?
Yeah, so I'll just start off with, you know, you want to know if it's God's will or not, because you're thinking about Paul, you know, you're like, oh, he says, yeah. Oh, it's good for you to be as I am, you know, like, be as I am. You don't have to have this, or if it's his will or if it's not his will. You know, he has a whole section in Corinthians talking about how if you're with the wife, be with her. If you're not, don't seek one. And then it goes into how just keep focused on Christ. Just live life mm-hmm. just as if he's coming back tomorrow, you know? And you're in that place to where you're like, okay, then what do I do? What do I do? So I'm reading this and I'm reading all these things, and with singleness and getting into a relationship, getting into a marriage. And I asked the Lord, because there's nobody in my life. You know, I just live in life, you know, in mm-hmm. Christ, and just living in his peace, living in his joy, living in his righteousness. And I had this desire. I was like, Lord, do you really want me to be in a relationship? You know, I'm like, do you really want me to? Because if you don't want me to, if you want me to just go and just straight up live for you, that's it. Like, boom, I'm going to do it. But I was like, if you want me to be in a relationship, if it's your will, let it be your will. So I opened up my Bible and it went to the book of Ruth right when I asked that. So I opened it up randomly and went to the book of Ruth, and I read the whole thing, and I was just like, wow. So the Lord was just speaking to me about Ruth and Boaz, and how Boaz, he was just minding his business, you know, and mm-hmm. Ruth, she was just minding her business. You know, they were doing the things that were pleasing God. They were just straight up single-eyed on Jesus. And I believe that's how God wants us to naturally be in a relationship. I mean, you know, some instances it can be different, you know, but I believe that it can happen naturally. Some people are like, oh, no, don't think it's a fairy tale, this or that. But I really do believe that God's grace can be in a godly marriage, you know, and God's timing, you know, it's his timing is the best timing anyway as well. So just mm-hmm. knowing how Boaz was just, you know, seeking after his kingdom, seeking after God's goodness. And then all of a sudden, oh, here's Ruth, you know, and she was actually laying at his feet. And he's like, what the, what is going on here? Who is this? And then they actually went through the lineage of Jesus as well. So, because he took her to be his wife and stuff, which was amazing. But, and it may not be, the Lord reminded me that it might not be always how you think it's going to work out. You know, mm-hmm. and how you might not meet this person at this place or that time, or when you have this or when you have that. Because what's feeded in society today is, for me, like as a man, right? You have to have your job all good. You have to have a house already. You have to have a car already. You have to mm-hmm. have your life all together. And then you might be able to get in a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of fed, like, that's the reason you're not in ones, because you don't have it all. But that's just not true, because I believe God knows it all. We can't ever be like, oh, I figured it all out. We have to know that he's the one that knows it all anyway, and that he knows what's best for us, and to patiently wait for him, and then everything else will fall back into place, you know. Everything else mm-hmm. will fall back into place. So that's what me in relationships, getting the marriage, knowing that it is God's will for us to be in marriage, but it is also his will for us to wait in his perfect timing. So, yeah.
Like, God's timing is so good. I know that he brought me to the point of surrender eventually, and it took a long time to get there. And, like, I mean, looking back, you know, I was leading Young Life from age 21 to 23, 24, mm-hmm. right around there. And I was, you know, for so much of it, I was so frustrated that I couldn't get a girlfriend. You know, I was like, why am I stuck in singleness? Why am I not able to find a wife? And man, in that time, and I wasn't good at being single in the sense that, like, my heart was constantly yearning for that relationship. But, like, in that time, I did so many incredible things for the kingdom.
Yeah.
In ministry for youth at the high school. And, you know, had I been in a relationship, had I been married at that time, which I would have liked to, man, I would have missed out on so much.
Yeah.
You know, and oftentimes people are and this saddens me quite a lot. You know, they can be so focused on what it is that they want that they're ignoring a lot of wonderful life-changing opportunities in front of them, allowing God to use them in those way. And you know, I did finally surrender to the Lord, and that's when God just brought me to the breaking point. You know, it wasn't like I can't give myself all the credit for surrendering. It was God just leveling me completely, and I needed it. And I'm so glad he did, because he brought my heart just to the right place in the right time, in his perfect timing, before I met my wife. And it's not a magic formula. I never preach it as a magic formula. That was God's timing for me. You know, I don't want to discredit people who have surrendered and have submitted their desires for marriage to the Lord, and, you know, it hasn't happened yet, you know. So, you know, just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean you haven't surrendered. Like, you know, Caleb, for yourself, do you think you have, would you say you've surrendered your desires for a wife to the Lord?
Yes. Yes.
Cool.
100%.
It sounds like it, the way you talk. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah. And
such an exciting place to be, because it's like, dude, like, there's so many directions life could take me. And I'm just like, let's go. Let's do it.
Yes, exactly. And that's the biggest thing, too, that would try to condemn me and make me feel guilty is like, or these like feelings and thoughts. Oh, I guess because you don't have a wife, you're not fully surrendered. Or I guess because you don't have a wife, you're not walking in what God has called you to. And that's just not true.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
absolutely.
You know, and those are just lies from the enemy. And I'm just like, you know what, Lord? No, I've laid my life down for you. I know that I've laid my life down for you. And I know that your timing is the best timing. And that's where I'm going to operate. You know, and when you said that, it just made me laugh, because I was just like, wow, that's so true. Because those weird little schemes, the enemy tries to trick us, make us feel guilty or shameful, because we don't have someone yet, or I guess, or we don't look a certain way like they want us to look. So now we have to look at our looks, we have to look at our disposition. Now we got to change our personality to be. But the Lord reminded me, you don't have to change a thing. Because you're spending intimacy with me, because you're abiding in me, because you won't be able to bear anything good unless you abide in me. And that's what he would remind me. And a lot of times there were these thoughts of, maybe I should change my attitude. Maybe I should change my personality. Maybe I should change the way how I look. Then I'll be in a marriage, you know? But the Lord, the conviction of the Holy Spirit was like, you're trying to change yourself for someone that was never my will. You know, why are you trying to change who you are when they're not even going to really love you how I made for somebody else to love you? Because if you keep operating in my love, keep operating in intimacy with me and in a heart to heart with me, that will attract and draw the people that need to be in your life. You know?
Yeah.
Because you acting like somebody else is going to draw and attract who does not need to be in your life, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, oh, you should be more tough guy, like, oh, more strong, like this, like, oh, yeah, I'm a guy, what's up, you know? To drum, I was like, no. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be patient, because that's what Jesus said, because his gentleness makes us great. And, like, he would keep reminding me, all these thoughts trying to attack me, you know, like I was saying. But he would keep reminding me never to change my disposition, never to change who I am, because I know I'm a son of the living God, and his timing is the best timing, and I'm supposed to wait patiently for him and keep focused on him, because he might come back tomorrow. Boom. You know, he might come back very soon. So just making sure, hey, my legacy that I leave is a legacy of love that's in Jesus, and eternity that I set up riches for eternity, you know? So never to change myself or who I am, but I'll attract the right people if I just remain in his love, and I just remain in the identity of a son of God, you know? So yeah I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, man. And do you consider yourself to be in a season of waiting right now?
100%. 100%. Okay. Yeah. So I actually have a scripture. I actually wanted to share it. Actually, if anybody would want to read the full Psalm 37, go for it. It is so good. But Psalm 37 says this. It says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as green herb." And then it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." So, like, me reading that, it's saying, hey, trust in the Lord and delight yourself in him. And then if you keep on going, it says to commit your way to the Lord, also trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And then it goes on to keep saying, do not fret. Because in relationships, in wondering what's going to happen next, or your career, or what your life is going to look like, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? But it says, do not fret again. So don't worry, don't be anxious because of him who prospers in his way. Like for me, I would see all these relationships, everybody else prospering in their way, right? They're getting all these kinds of relationships. Like for me, I'm still a virgin and I'm waiting till marriage. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's a gift. But you see all these people just treating it like it's nothing, sleeping around with everybody, you know, and they're all like, oh, but it's like, hey, don't be envious. Do not be envious of the workers of iniquity. And it just kept reminding me of that as well. But because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath, do not fret because it only causes harm. And then it says how evildoers shall be cut off and how you shall delight and the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So, you know, like I said, that big, being tough, but being meek, being humble is way more valuable than trying to be the tough dude or this or that. And I mean, you can still be strong, be a man, you know what I'm saying? In the gentleness of God. I always look at Optimus Prime, you know, like Optimus Prime, he's tough, you know, so he's also gentle, you know, so so that always reminds me, but, just, you know, that season of waiting. And I even asked God, and this is pretty personal. I haven't let anyone know this yet, but I even asked God on how, okay, when is this going to happen? You know, if you could give me estimate time, and like that time, even me and him were talking about, live streaming, and, the Lord whispered to me, give me a month. And I started live streaming after that month. So adhering to God's voice, there came the reward, adhering to his voice. So even with like relationships, I asked the Lord again, and I was like, when would my wife be here? What will happen? I'm 22 going on to 23. What's going to happen? You know, and just like wondering. And he said, give me 1 year. So I was like, okay. Now I won't let anyone know what month that was. So it's just, that's between me and God. But he did say, give me 1 year, like straight up. And I was like, okay, I'm giving you one. Not like I'm giving you 1 year. No. But like, okay, I'll see what happens in 1 year. And so we're just waiting on that. And it's awesome that you asked about you in a season of waiting and waiting patiently. And I would definitely say that I 100% am. And in this season, not only to wait, but to wait patiently and rest in him, to be in that rest, you know, not to be in insecurity or doubt or shame, but to just be in that rest and in that patience and waiting for him, waiting for the Lord patiently to work all things out for our good, you know? So I would definitely say I'm definitely in that season, and it's fun though.
Yeah.
Like enjoying it.
Yeah. And so in that period of waiting, like what do you do in that time? Like what do you do with yourself in that time that you feel like you're in this period of waiting?
Yeah, I would say I run right to the Lord. For me, no matter what, if I have like a thought of doubt or concern, even if it's concern, because concerning or questioning is not bad. But even if I have doubt or worry or a concern or anything trying to come against me, or it's just a, you know, just a regular thought, I run straight to the Lord. So for instance, get a thought of, oh, you could be like this person, like social media. Go on social media, Instagram or TikTok, boom, you see people are in relationships. They're living life, you know? Yeah. So you're like, oh man, they're in a relationship. Oh, they're opening their Bibles. They're having nice little Bible studies and everything. That's so cool, man. I want that, you know? But right when I see that, I run right to my room and I just close my door and I just get on the floor, open my Bible and just say, Lord Jesus, teach me. Father me. Thank you for loving me. You work all things out for my good. You love me. You order my steps. You prepare my works and I walk in them. And I just start to have that intimacy, have that heart to heart. And then all of a sudden, when you submit to God, you resist the devil, he flees, you know? So having those thoughts come against you and just keep... You use that those thoughts as a boost board right to God, you know? Use those things as that are trying to come against you. Boom. straight to Jesus, you know? So that's how I really, in this season, just staying, abiding in him, in that intimate place, in that heart-to-heart with God. Biggest thing, biggest thing, for sure.
Yeah, and because I've had a lot of guests before that they felt like looking at this time frame as a season of waiting meant to be just waiting for the Lord in a way that they're not taking action in their life right now. Like they're waiting for something in their life they're waiting till they meet someone to start trying to seek the Lord's purpose. Like that is their purpose. Like they're finding that purpose in a relationship. And so they're like, oh yeah, I'm just like, you know, in this season of waiting, or I looked at it as a season of waiting until I stopped looking at it as a season of waiting and took action in my life right at that time. You know, so how do you, and I want to make sure I kind of frame this the right way, because I don't want to like discredit you for using that term, because I don't want you to feel like I'm just like manipulating or trapping you or anything, because I do feel like you're doing so many incredible things in your life right now. But simultaneously, you refer to it as season of waiting, which can get a bad rap sometimes for a lot of people. So, so in the season of waiting, how do you use that time to seek God's purpose while still feeling hope for the future?
Yeah. In this season, I'd say, while I'm waiting, it's also knowing you're not stopping what you're doing. You know, you're still taking action. You're still taking big steps in the life and call that God has for your life. You know, because we're called to the fellowship of the Son. We're called to be in that heart to heart. We're called to liberty. You know, we're called to please him. And in the season of waiting, how to have clarity of that you're in the right space, how to have clarity and security. I'd definitely say it for the hope for the future. It's knowing and trusting that God has the best say, like a child, childlike faith. It's like, you know what? I don't have to have my every day-to-day life all figured out. I know the one who has it all figured out. And I'm fully, fully relying on you, Lord. You know, and I believe committing your way, like for instance, like this verse, Psalm 37, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as a noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, so just like resting in him, waiting patiently for him. And even I know a lot of people, because even I talk with some people, they do not like the word wait. Because they're like, wait, what is it going to be? Jesus is going to come back soon. I need to get in a relationship now. You know? They're like, I need to get in it now.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And they're like, what? I can't wait. But but like our time and God's time is so different, you know? Yeah. And it's like one day is 1,000 days and 1,000 days is one day. I think I said that right. But, you know, it's just he's working on a different time. And I think we just have to fully, fully trust that, you know, and just wait on him. And while you're waiting, knowing your purpose is to live out the nature of God. So now you ask the Lord to perfect you in love in that intimate place. Lord, may you perfect me in your love. And then what? Now you're equipped with that love. You'll be able to attract the right people towards you, and then you'll be able to properly love that person that is brought into your life, you know, because you're perfecting love, and all of a sudden you're not driven by lust. All of a sudden you're driven by love now, you know? So,
And let's say if you could look into the future and you're looking ahead and you see that you are single for the rest of your life, would you be living your life any different right now? Would you be doing anything differently?
For me, no. I believe I am straight up just fully committed to the Lord, and I wouldn't change a thing. You know, I wouldn't change a thing, man. Even if I'm in a relationship.
That's so good.
Even if I'm in a relationship, I still wouldn't change anything. Maybe there might be some sacrifices I have to take. You know, maybe if we have children, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And if her career, because yeah. I'm supposed to, you know, hold up people better than myself. So I would definitely make some sacrifices, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But right now, yeah, I just been committing my whole heart, whole mind, whole soul to Jesus. And that's how it will always be. So for that's me good. Personally.
Yeah. And that's, yes. and that's how it needs to be. You know, cause there's people in the season of waiting where they, you know, if they were asked that question, their life would look completely different.
Yeah.
Know? And when I was faced with that question, like for one, I was pretty ticked. I was like, no, like I'm definitely going to be getting married. Like God's calling me towards it. My heart's there. Like, but that question, you know, took a lot of time to kind of simmer and it leveled me. Like it eventually did. And it did change my trajectory on how I looked at that time in my life and how I should be living my life. You know, was I living my life just for the purpose of getting married, or was I living my life to serve the Lord and chase after what he had for me? And when I started looking at the perspective of not living my life, treating it in a season of waiting, treating it like I'm just waiting for this next step in order to proceed further in what God's calling is for me, when I stopped looking at that, life got a lot more exciting. And life is a lot more exciting when you're just able to trust God in whatever direction he's going to take you. And I love seeing that, you know, in your heart and where you're at. And I love that even though you still call it, like, this is, you know, kind of a season of waiting, even though you call it that, that your trajectory isn't any different if you knew you wouldn't get married. You're like, no, like, I'm, like, 100% in it for the Lord. I'm just going to go and... Yeah. You know, if he doesn't have this for me, he still has my best in mind. Like he's got incredible things for me, and that's so important, man. I love that.
Yeah, it really is, because we, like, as someone that's single, you have to notice that Jesus is your source of love. Like that's the I mean, even for a marriage too, Jesus is the source of love. But especially when you're single, if you don't know Jesus as your source of love, then all of a sudden you're going to run after things and try to find identity. You know, like even in the season, some people find their identity in the season of waiting instead of knowing their identity is already within the love of Jesus, and they get to live it out and let their light shine and walk as he walked in his love and in his goodness, you know, and it's exciting, you know? So there's no like, oh, look at their life. No. It's like your life right now is exciting within the Holy Spirit, and you just get to live out his goodness, you know? And it's just making it so important. Like every time I make it so vital to say how even when you're in a season, it never determines who you are. Mm-hmm. Like for instance, that season does not determine me. The cross, that's what determines me, period.
Yeah.
And that will equip me to properly love my parents, that will equip me to properly love myself, that will equip me to properly love the people that already are in my life. And then down the road, possibly God's will, you know, I'll be able to properly love my spouse, you know? So just already getting trained, getting equipped, and knowing you're complete and lacking no good thing, you know? So, yeah.
Dude, that's so good. So before we kind of wrap up this segment and move into our other questions. So what would you recommend to people that are looking at this in a season of waiting, and where should their heart be in the midst of it?
Yeah. I believe the most important thing is always going to the Word of God, going to Scripture. And Colossians is a really good one. Colossians is amazing. And it talks about even with your heart, you know, allowing the peace of God to rule your heart, you know, to be the ruler of your heart. Because if he's not the ruler of your heart, something else is. Yeah. So not to allow lust to be the ruler of your heart in this season, but to allow the peace of Jesus to be the ruler of your heart in this season. You know what I'm saying? That would be the biggest thing I would have to say, is when the peace of Jesus is in your heart, that will give you the wisdom and knowledge on how to live out the love that you have to other people. And then if that person is in your life, and if they are brought in your life a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 3 years from now, however long, you'll be ready. You know, mm-hmm. you'll be ready, because the peace of God is ruled in your heart, not making that the focal point, making living out Christ the focal point. And then if they come along, that's amazing. You know?
Yeah.
So just peace of God, rule in the heart, let the word of God dwell in you richly, and always run to him every single time. That'd be the biggest thing. So, yes.
Awesome, man. Yes. I appreciate it. So, getting to our standard questions of every episode,
all right.
I would love to hear, what have been your biggest struggles in singleness, and how have you overcome them, or how are you overcoming them?
Yeah. So my biggest struggle for sure with singleness is wondering, oh, am I good enough? Right. Even at like a young age, you know, I've been in relationships and stuff, like, you know, friendships and stuff. And then they're getting a little deeper, and then all of a sudden it stops, you know? So one of the biggest things I definitely struggled with was wondering, am I just not like attractive enough? Am I just not, you know, buff enough? You know, am I just not strong enough?
Can I not lift enough?
Right. So it's like all these enoughs, you know?
Yeah.
And the Lord, what helped me overcome that was noticing my identity and who I am was literally determined when Jesus shed his blood for me. Mm-hmm. Like, me knowing that I have been bought and purchased at the highest price, that I don't have to sell cheap to those things. You know, I don't have to sell cheap to, oh, this, or am I this enough or that enough? But the cross says, hey, now you are enough because of my blood, you know? So that's the biggest thing that helped me. And around 15, that's when, 15, 17, that's when that happened. Those struggles, those thoughts were trying to attack me. And then 17, boom, he's like, hey, my blood has made you enough. You don't have to worry about those things. You just stay on the narrow path. Don't go the broad way. Stay on the narrow, keep focused on me, you'll be good. You know, so that's how that got overcome. So
awesome, man. That's so good.
Yeah.
And so what does thriving in singleness mean to you?
Yeah, so thriving, man. I would definitely say when you're thriving, you know, you're feeling good, you're like, okay, I'm at peace with this situation, the current place that I'm at, I'm at peace, you know, I'm enjoying it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know how the word of God, it says, godliness without enjoyment is not good. If you're not enjoying the godliness that you have, it's not good. But godliness with enjoyment is great gain. So for me, I would definitely say really, really enjoying it is noticing my identity, who I am, the love that I have is alone in him. And that will, like I said before, that will automatically equip me to love that person that comes into my life, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's how I thrive. I really do. That's how I believe I really, really thrive. Knowing what that love looks like. It's patient. It's kind. It thinks no evil. It has zero selfishness. It keeps no record of wrongs done to it. So, you know, putting off that lust, dying to that lust, and noticing I get to walk out in love. What that love is, what it looks like, you know, that agape love. I believe that is the best way to thrive in singleness, is knowing that it never determines your identity. Only the cross does. And now it's time to walk it out, you know? So,
yeah. That's so good, man. I love that.
Yes.
So what is a favorite verse or a verse that has been on your heart lately?
Favorite verse. I really love when Jesus is talking with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, you know, they're all prideful. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're perfect. We're good. We don't need you, Jesus, you know? And Jesus is like, you think that you search the scriptures and you find life in them, but truly I say to you, life is in me. So that's one of the biggest things that has been in my heart lately, is knowing, like, the Word of God points us to that knowing of who he is personally, you know, that personal relationship, mm-hmm. knowing who he is and us and him knowing us. So that's been one of the favorite things that's been on my heart, and the Psalm 37 as well. Waiting, resting, and you shall inherit the land. You shall get the desires of your heart because you delight yourself in the Lord, and then your desires will be of his will. So that's one of the bigger ones too that's been on my heart. So yeah. Oh,
man. Thanks so much. So how can we be praying for you?
I would just to increase in knowledge and revelation to say things clearer, sharper, and stronger in Christ, for sure. For sure.
Awesome. Yes. Sounds good. Yeah, I'll definitely be praying. And how can people find you on social media, which sounds like you're basically everywhere. So where can they find you?
Yeah, so it's Caleb Kaminsky on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. So that's it. CalebKaminsky.
All right. Awesome,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Well, dude, thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Been an awesome chatting you. Just yes. I know we got in touch a long time ago. We finally got to make it happen.
I know.
Just been a lot of fun, man. Really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm sure so many people will be blessed by it too.
Yes, yes. I appreciate you so much for having me on, and it was a blessing. A blessing for sure. So
awesome. Yes, sir. Well, everybody out there, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. Be sure to like, subscribe, tell your friends. If there's somebody that is struggling in their singleness, let them know we're here. We are a resource to help encourage them and inspire them in their singleness. Be sure to, in the meantime, get out there and seize the day. Maximize every chapter in your life. We'll see you next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Thriving in Singleness podcast. Look for new episodes wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.